Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. As the United States Supreme Court deliberates over the constitutionality of President Obama's health care bill, 50 million Americans remain uninsured. Now, even if the Supreme Court upholds the law, 26 million people will still be uninsured, and costs will continue to rise. This is according to the Physicians for a National Health Program, a group of doctors who are fighting for single-payer health care. According to the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics, the number of Americans turning to alternative medicine is on the rise. We're talking about things like yoga, massage, herbal medicine, acupuncture, and meditation. Now, of course, and unfortunately, these alternatives are not covered by most insurance plans, but in many cases, they can be a more accessible and holistic approach to treating a medical condition than conventional methods. But again, the key here is access. So today we are talking about the merits of these alternative modes of medicine. If you've experienced them, what are your stories? If not, what questions do you have? And what can we do to ensure alternatives are accessible to everyone? Today, we are joined by Dr. Gabriella Heinzheimer. She's been practicing as a holistic medical doctor for 33 years. She's one of the founders of the Charlotte Maxwell Complementary Clinic, the first state-licensed holistic clinic providing free alternative medical treatments to low-income women with cancer. The clinic has been seeing clients for over 20 years. And Dr. Heinzheimer joins us in studio. Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. So I'm so glad we're doing this show because this healthcare debate is raging. Yet I'm rarely hearing that even if this law is upheld, 26 million people will still be without healthcare, and the law does nothing to cap costs. So we're still going to have major problems.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we really wanted to do this show to talk about the alternatives. When we say alternative healthcare and alternative medicine, what do we mean exactly?
Well, first of all, I think we want to change the terminology because alternative medicine means it's either instead of or a different medicine. And instead, I think the concept of holistic medicine or complementary medicine is that in our world today, we have a history of many forms of medicine that have been around a lot longer than Western medicine. So to first of all be called the alternative medicine as if holistic medicine is the new kid on the block is absurd, and it also marginalizes it. So I think what is holistic medicine is where you treat a whole person. They may have migraine headaches, they may have cancer, but we look at the body in a totality. We look at the mind, we look at the emotions, we look at the physical stresses, the emotional stresses, and we treat a person. They may have cancer. Mm-hmm. And what holistic medicine does is use the body's ability to heal itself and do something that supports that. Because when you think of it, when you really step back and look at what the body does, the body is the most incredible machine, for lack of a better term, that you have on the planet. The ability of the body to heal itself is so deep and so strong. And Western medicine is wonderful at killing things. Mm. It is fabulous at destroying things. It's kind of like some other parts of our culture. But it isn't at all focused on strengthening the body's innate abilities. I mean, our body is so programmed to come back to healing. If we allow that, if we support that, and it's kind of like nothing in our culture it's like taking responsibility for allowing the body to heal itself. And I think what complementary medicine does so well is strengthen those paths of healing.
I love how you say that there's such an emphasis on allowing the body to heal and to really step back and think about how amazing our bodies really are. Why? I mean, you love Western medicine. You're a medical doctor. Why do you think the focus has shifted from the concept of healing in Western medicine? We're always thinking about quick fixes and what sort of pill you can take, for example, to deal with whatever ailment you might have.
Well, I think it's multifocal. I think in our culture, as capitalism has become more endemic to everything we do, unfortunately, education is now being done by drug companies. Mm-hmm. And of the 10 richest corporations in the world, 4 are drug companies. Now, there are, thank God for drugs. I am not against drugs, okay? But when I went to medical school in the 70s, 80% of research was done by the federal government. Now, 80% of it is done by drug companies. And then the education comes out of that industry. And I think as doctors, we go into medicine to help people, to heal people. I mean, most people go into medicine because they want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. But the education has now been focused around a certain form of medicine. And the other thing is that medicine, like I think so much of our culture, is a fear-based system. So we are afraid all the time. If we don't do this, we're afraid we're going to miss something. We're afraid if we don't do the standard of care. We're afraid to go out on these limbs that are not well proven. And I think this idea of scientific method, medicine used to be known as an art, but it now has the delusion of being a hard science. Now, science is fabulous. I love science, but science is, in my understanding, something that if 100 people looked at something for 100 years, they'd see the same thing. Now, in medicine, hopefully 100 years from now, the things we're doing in Western medicine will do like just like we think now about 100 years ago. My God, what were we thinking? So I think there's not a lot of science in medicine, but yet we have a delusion that there is. So it's limited to what we can scientifically prove, which holistic medicine doesn't really lend itself to that kind of model. Like you come up with recent studies about, oh, vitamin E is bad for you. Well, they used a type of vitamin E that as a holistic doctor, you would never use. Plus, you would never use only vitamin E. So the studies that are done, and in medicine, we want to believe that we know what we're doing. But complementary medicine is really, it doesn't lend itself to a reductionistic model of looking at one variable. So I think medicine has evolved into a drug-based medicine, it's a fear-based medicine, and it has a delusion that it has to be proven, none of which lends itself to bringing in all these other forms of healing.
And that is Dr. Gabriella Heinzheimer. She's one of the founders of the Charlotte Maxwell Complementary Clinic. And now I would like to welcome Dr. Don Motika to the show. Dr. Motika is a family practice physician, licensed acupuncturist, and host of Ask Dr. Don. That's a weekly radio program heard on KUSP 88.9 FM in Santa Cruz on Saturdays at 9. Dr. Motika is also certified in functional medicine and hypnosis. She's the only acupuncturist with full practitioner privileges at Dominican Santa Cruz Hospital. And she's also a member of the faculty at Five Branches College of Chinese Medicine, where she teaches Western medicine to graduate students. And Dr. Motika joins us from the studios of KUSP. Hi, Dr. Motika. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. I'm happy to be here.
It's great to have you. So I was talking with Dr. Heinzheimer about alternative health and alternative medicine. And how do you define alternative health?
Well, I think I agree with Dr. Heinzheimer that word is not actually one that I tend to use because it implies that there's a dichotomy. And of course, there isn't one. That's a false dichotomy, kind of a Cartesian illusion left over from the 17th century Enlightenment way of thinking, which we needed back in the 17th century. But now in the 21st century, we need to take all those things that we've spread apart and disassembled and reassemble them into something that more closely resembles the complex, dynamic, vibrant organism that is the human body. I wanted to comment that I think when we think about these various forms of medicine, there are different ways of validating things besides just a placebo-controlled double-blind study. Many things don't. I would add that very few surgical procedures are ever subjected to placebo trials. That would be considered highly unethical. And yet we think of surgery as being highly scientific. By our own definition, it actually isn't. So when we talk about bringing acupuncture and holistic forms such as botanical medicine and mind-body medicine, energy medicine, and pulling all of those back in to try and attack the problem of chronic disease with multiple inputs, because a complex problem doesn't really respond to a single bullet approach. A bullet hits a target, but when the target is moving and dynamic, it just runs away from you once you've shot it.
So let's talk about what we're facing right now. We've got 50 million people still uninsured, and once the Affordable Care Act goes into effect, if the Supreme Court upholds it, we'll have 26 million people uninsured. Costs will continue to rise. And I just spent the morning looking at different statistics when you're talking about cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, you name it. And the statistics show that these diseases are just on the rise. So why don't you both paint a picture based on your experience of what we're really facing right now. Dr. Heinzheimer, what are we really facing right now? You've been working at the clinic for over, 20 years? What are you seeing? What's happening?
Well, I think what we're seeing is we're seeing several things. One thing we're seeing is that much younger people are being diagnosed with cancers. It used to be when I went to medical school, we had childhood cancers, and then cancers were something that older people got. And now we're seeing cancers in much younger people. We're also seeing cancer being diagnosed, even though we have access to finding cancer in much earlier stages. Among low-income people, we're finding the diagnosis in much later stages because of a lack of access to healthcare and because of some factors we probably don't know about. So we're seeing people being diagnosed later. We're seeing them being diagnosed younger. And then illness is the quickest route into poverty. You know, it's the number one route into bankruptcy. And I think what we notice at Charlotte Maxwell Clinic is that a lot of our clients have so many other issues that taking care of themselves is almost like a luxury. Their lives are so difficult and so complicated. And I think the other thing is that because of all the cutbacks in county healthcare systems, a lot of the support systems that used to be part of county healthcare systems are no longer possible. So for us, for instance, we first thought we were going to be a clinic that provided complementary medicine, acupuncture, Chinese herbs, Western herbs, homeopathy, body work. And you know, then there were the other systems who did the chemotherapy and the whatever Western medicine people would choose, and then the county would provide social services. We now have to provide tremendous amount of social services because we realize that there's no way you can get any treatments if you don't have enough to eat. There's no way you can, you know, if you can't get a ride, if you don't have a way to get to your appointments. So I think part of providing complementary medicine, like I said, is the whole person. Well, so the whole person includes all the different things that life entails. So for instance, one of the things we always need more of is drivers, because, you know, you can imagine coming on a bus after chemotherapy for, right, a massage. Mm. So I think the other thing that in oncology, there is a recognition that complementary medicine helps mitigate the side effects of chemotherapy and radiation. And I think Dr. Judith Luce, who's the main oncologist at San Francisco General, has been very committed to supporting our clinic and helping us get grants, because she sees that clients who come to Charlotte Maxwell are much more likely to come for their regular appointments. They're much more likely to be able to finish their treatments, their Western medical treatments, on time, because they have fewer side effects. So I think what we've learned in cancer is there is such a beauty in integrating, in using all different forms of medicine. We're no longer, like the other doctor talked about, we don't have to choose between this and that. You know, it's like we're so blessed, but these medicines are not available to a lot of people.
Right, and we will definitely talk about access on today's show. And Dr. Motika, what would you add to that? What would you say we're facing based on the people who call into your radio show, and what changes have you seen over the years?
Well, I think one of the most critical things we're facing is we have a real problem with our food supply, and it is leading the increase in chronic diseases. I'm particularly struck by what I would call the phenotypic, in other words, the appearance change of children from when I started practicing medicine back in the early 90s. And when And now the children who come into my practice are much larger. They have obesity issues. They have inflammatory issues. The rates of autism are up, asthma, allergies. So we have a colossal challenge that I believe is fueled largely by environmental pollution and by the industrialization of our food supply. The food has, you talk about people not having access to basic services, not having access to fresh food, having to eat at McDonald's because that's all they can afford, when we know that that diet is very damaging to the health. So if we start thinking in terms of a more holistic medical system, one of the key places that we need to place our emphasis is in getting real food that's healthy food out to people, particularly people in food deserts, which describes many of the poor neighborhoods in this country.
And that is Dr. Dawn Motika. She is a family practice physician, licensed acupuncturist, and host of Ask Dr. Dawn. It airs Saturdays at 9 a.m. on KUSP 88.9 FM in Santa Cruz. We're also joined by Dr. Gabriella Heinzheimer. She is one of the founders of the Charlotte Maxwell Complementary Clinic, the first state-licensed holistic clinic providing free alternative medical treatments to low-income women with cancer. They've been seeing clients for over 20 years. And today we are talking about alternative health and alternative medicine. According to the CDC, the number of Americans turning to alternative medicine is on the rise. It's about 4 out of 10 and growing. And if you've turned to alternative health over the years, we'd love to hear from you. What did you turn to? Was it affordable? Did your insurance cover it? How did you find out about it? What was your overall experience? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you haven't really dabbled in alternative medicine, but you're curious, we'd love to take your questions. And if you're a physician or a doctor, what are your thoughts on this? I loved what Dr. Heinzheimer said earlier. She loves Western medicine, but feels like a lot of people are limiting themselves just specifically to Western medicine. And there's much more to it than that. So what are your thoughts on how you treat patients? And food is such a big deal. A lot of friends who go to the doctor are always surprised that their doctors never ask them how they eat. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment at yourcallradio.org so others can read it. And Dr. Heinzheimer, before we take calls, I just wanted to ask you, you know, it's amazing that you've been able at the Charlotte Maxwell Clinic to treat women for so long. And you said initially it was going to be acupuncture and herbal medicine, and now you have to be all-encompassing because the state has cut back on so many programs. Have you been able to survive for 20 years? And you're in the East Bay.
We have two clinics. We have one in the Mission and one in downtown Oakland.
Okay.
And, you know, we get grants, but since 2009, our grants have been cut in half. And mostly we survive by people like you and me giving $100, $250 to $500, $1,000. And I think, kind of like how you survive as a radio station, I mean, I think that it's very difficult. I mean, we've cut back dramatically. And I think these are hard times for people. And I think the number of people needing our services has increased dramatically. And, you know, every year I think, well, I don't know if we'll survive. But, you know, I'm sure many of us who listen here are involved in many organizations that are facing this.
Oh, yes.
You know, and, you know, I think, well, if we only make it one more year, good for us. So I hope all of us here continue to do everything we can to support all the amazing community organizations, because I think remembering that this affects all of us, you know, it's like you could be next. And it's such healing work to be involved in healing. And I think, you know, when you volunteer at Charlotte Maxwell, I think what most volunteers find is they get more than they give. And I think that is the nature of healing, and especially holistic medicine, where it is such an energetic exchange. Mm-hmm. I think for all of us to be involved in our community organizations is crucial right now.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line. Let's hear from Anya in Santa Cruz. Hi, Anya. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I turned to alternative, or I should say holistic care, many years ago after getting sick and just starting on an organic diet and really realizing the benefits of prevention. And then I got I had to have an emergency room visit a few years back that led me with a misdiagnosis of a bladder infection. And at that time, I tried to apply for insurance and was denied for having a pre-existing condition. Mm. And so since then, I pretty much mostly just do things like acupuncture and yoga for alternative care. And I eat a healthy organic diet. And I myself am actually a holistic psychotherapist. So it's prevalent. And I just see like everybody in my community in Santa Cruz does turn to that form of healthcare primarily for their care.
Right. And so, Anya, what happened when you were denied? How did you deal with your ailment?
I went to acupuncture and got it treated. And it was, you know, Chinese medicine looks at something like a bladder infection, which it wasn't, but looks at it from such a different perspective, like your guests are saying, you know, it looks at the whole system.
Right.
So it wasn't a bladder infection that was necessarily treated, but with my whole system over the course of, you know, a few months, actually. But it really effectively treated it, so.
And you had to pay for the acupuncture out of pocket, right?
I did have to pay for the acupuncture out of pocket, but my acupuncturist is wonderful. She sees many clients on a sliding scale basis, mm-hmm. or them and has, you know, them pay her when they can. So
yeah, it's amazing actually. So a lot of doctors do this, and in San Francisco, Oakland, I'm sure this is in Santa Cruz, in that area, there's community acupuncture. So you can go there, it's a large room, you might have five people in the room at one time, and it's a sliding scale, maybe 15, 20 or more, depending on what you can afford. And I'm seeing there's a big trend to try to make healthcare available for people, because a lot of acupuncturists I know will go to the community center a couple times a week to offer their services, so it's more affordable.
Rose, if I can interject,
yes,
for just
Dr.
a moment.
Martika.
25 years ago, when I was first beginning my acupuncture studies, I visited a number of clinics in China and also in San Francisco in Chinatown. And that's exactly how they are set up, or were set up at the time. Many people in a room, the acupuncturist going from patient to patient, just little partitioned spaces. And it allows you to treat a great many people fairly inexpensively. And I think I'm happy to hear that trend is returning.
And I have an acupuncture appointment today at 3:00. So Dr. Motika, just quickly, can you talk about the benefits of acupuncture for people who might not be familiar with it?
Well, the basic idea of acupuncture is that there is an energy flowing through our bodies, and I think we can all agree to that. And scientifically, this energy is occurring in the extracellular fluid, and there's actually tons of scientific evidence establishing that there is a channel for the movement, for the preferential movement, call it a freeway movement for energy. And we can see this, we can inject dye into acupuncture points and watch it track up the acupuncture channels. What happens when we insert a needle or do physical pressure there is that we create a charge phenomenon that propagates up along that channel. And this actually changes what the cells are doing. It may upregulate certain messenger RNA. You may start making anti-inflammatory cytokines. And we've measured this. We can see the production of enkephalins and endorphins created by an acupuncture needle. And as we change the inputs to the cells, we encourage the healing. I frame most chronic disease as healing that simply has gotten lost. And with acupuncture, we can take a chronic pain and sometimes just point the body back to the path of healing. It's very effective, and it's almost like reprogramming the software of a computer that's gotten confused.
And again, the key word there is healing. And today we are talking about healing through alternative medicine and alternative healthcare, and we'd love to hear from you. We actually have full lines. We'll have a few open in just a couple minutes, 866-798-8255. We'll be back after this.
And you're listening to Your Call on KALW San Francisco. We have a free email newsletter. Join more than 7,000 of your fellow listeners who get an email every week or two that keeps them aware of the diverse programming on local public radio, as well as opportunities to participate in station events. Just click the email newsletter link on the front page of KALW.org, and thank you for listening to and supporting your local public radio station, KALW. San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. You can find more information about our show at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. We'll discuss coverage of the nationwide ICE crackdown and arrest of over 3,000 undocumented immigrants, which has received very little media scrutiny. We'll also talk about the UN pressuring the Syrian government and the opposition to end all violence by April 12th. And then next week, we're putting shows together about the realities of being a young person of color in the United States. What's at stake if the tax proposals do not pass in November? It's hard to believe, but the California State University system said if these tax proposals don't pass, they will not accept new admissions in the next semester. So we'll be talking about that next week. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about alternative health care. The debate about health care in this country continues to rage on. We'll get a Supreme Court decision probably in June. And even if they uphold the health care law, 26 million people will still be uninsured and costs will continue to increase. In fact, I just found this article over at the Washington Post, and we'll put it on our website. Why an MRI costs $1,000 in the U.S. and $280 in France. It's a really interesting article that looks at the disparities between what we pay in the U.S. and almost every other country, and the costs are incredibly high. And Dr. Heinzheimer wants to weigh in. Let me just reintroduce you. Dr. Gabriella Heinzheimer is one of the founders of the Charlotte Maxwell Complementary Clinic. They're in the Mission District in San Francisco and downtown Oakland, the first state-licensed holistic clinic providing free alternative treatments to low-income women with cancer. Dr. Don Motika is a family practice physician, licensed acupuncturist, and host of Ask Dr. Don, a weekly radio call-in program airing Saturdays at 9 a.m. on KUSP 88.9 in Santa Cruz. And you can also listen to it online. Dr. Heinzheimer, you wanted to jump in there when I was talking about these costs.
Well, I just want to say that I think people need to learn how to advocate for themselves, because it's one thing to compare costs in Mexico to the United States. I mean, that's a horrendous fact. But also in the Bay Area, a pelvic ultrasound, which is an incredibly common test, it's a sound wave picture of the pelvis. You could get it for $250 or you could pay $1,200 in Berkeley, California, for the same exact test. So I think to realize that we have got to be better advocates for ourselves and lab work. You know, if you're uninsured, first of all, the uninsured pay the highest for any health care. So that's something to be mindful of. But lab work, there's you could pay $500 for a test or you could get it on other labs for $100. So I think we have to kind of really watch out for that stuff.
We could probably do an entire show about this, because I just went through this with two members of my family in the last few months. What advice would you give people when you say be a better advocate? What do you mean exactly?
Well, it depends what we're talking about. But I think, you know, are we talking about cost only here?
Well, really using your voice and getting the right answers. And then, as you said, if you're talking about a wide disparity in the city of Berkeley, what power do we have to get the lowest cost possible?
Well, I think it's almost like a job, you know, of researching and networking and figuring out how do we make this information available. And I only learned about this as a doctor because one of my clients couldn't afford to get a pelvic ultrasound where I'd been sending people for 30 years. And she found this other totally certified radiology company that did it for $250, a test that had been being charged. So I think I'm not sure how we're going to disseminate this information to each other because, you know, the internet is a great source, but it's also in health, it's a mixed bag because there's anybody can say anything. And I find it as scary or sometimes it's very helpful, I think, to use other people as resources for what's the best way to do this.
Right. Well, I'll have to add that to our show list because you're right, and you can make phone calls and spend the whole day on the phone trying to get answers. We had a caller, Barbara, who couldn't stay with us, and she wanted to say, I had a grave disease. I went to a conventional doctor who recommended radiation, but I decided not to do it. I did homeopathy instead, and it's helped me for the last 2 years.
Absolutely. You know, I think like Dawn was saying about autoimmune diseases, we're seeing such a rise of diseases where the body attacks itself. Graves' disease is one of those, of the thyroid. And Western medicine does nothing to change the underlying process. So, you know, radiating thyroid is killing off the thyroid. But complementary medicine has all kinds of things to stop that inflammation process. And I think, as Dawn said, inflammation is what we think is driving almost all chronic illnesses. And so we really have to work on how to have our life not have so much inflammation from the poison we're exposed to, from the poison in the food, in the air.
Right. Well, thank you for the call, Barbara. And let's go to our next caller, Charles, in San Francisco. Hi, Charles. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to share my story. My brother just called me and let me know that you guys are doing a show on alternative health. And, you know, about 7 years ago, I was diagnosed with a rare liver condition called primary sclerosing cholangitis, which is also an autoimmune disease. And, you know, initially I had my gallbladder removed. And what the doctors had me do is to maintain it was just doing these endoscopic procedures every, you know, 2 or 3 months just to keep the actual bile duct open, because what PSC is the stricture of the main bile duct. And so what eventually happened, though, is that I the doctors that said that eventually I was gonna have to get a liver transplant. And you know, I was 21 years old, and kind of just came up really, like, just, you know, pretty shocking experience to have at that age. And basically, my older brother happened to have a friend who had the rare kind of similar condition, and he recommended an alternative health institute that I went to for 2 months and just did a very intense, long detoxification process, basically on a strict, you know, raw vegan diet, a lot of juices and alternative therapies throughout that whole time. And, you know, it was basically just such an immediate life transformational experience for myself, and also touched the lives of all of my, like, immediate family members who were able to help, you know, support me when I came back. And so it's just pretty amazing that, you know, if all those resources are out there, and it's just, you know, what it's about is people just owning their health and really taking it, you know, doing whatever they can to maintain that, because at the end of the day, if you don't have your health, you really don't have much. So.
Exactly. Charles, did you go to Hippocrates in Florida?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who've gone there. It's an amazing story. So how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, I do my regular blood lab tests every few months, which I've maintained since I actually came back from Hippocrates. And since then, my brother and I opened up a juice company where we basically provide people delivery of, like, green juices in glass bottles.
Oh, that's great.
Dairy-free milkman.
I love it. Are you still following the raw vegan diet or close to it?
Yeah, so I basically kind of customized my particular diet that works best for me. Initially, when I came back from Hippocrates, I was, you know, I maintained, like, a 95% strict raw diet. But because I have, like, a certain constitution, I'm really thin, and, like, I burn a lot of food, that, and I'm a very active person, I kind of incorporate certain grains and certain meats that just kind of help stabilize my, you know, my health predicament, I guess, or challenge, I should say. And you know, it's worked great. I haven't had to do any of those prior endoscopic procedures in over 6 years. So,
wow. Amazing. And what is your company called?
It's called Juice to You.
Juice to You.
Yeah, we're actually, it's funny. It was pretty cool. We're on the show right now. But we're opening up a little juice shop that my brother and I and my wife put together. It's a really small kind of kiosk that's it's a little juice shop. It's that we're opening next Saturday, actually. So
in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, yeah.
Great. Where is it?
It's on 1994 Union Street.
Great. Well, thank you. I've been wanting to do a juice show for a while, actually. I'm a big juicer, so I'm going to bring this up at our next editorial meeting. Thank you so much.
Oh, cool.
And I'm so glad you found a way to heal. Thank you for calling, Charles.
Yeah, and feel free to stop by and try a juice if you like.
I definitely will. Thank you. Dr. Motika, there you go. I mean, healing with food and healing
exactly.
with a diet.
Food can be and is medicine.
Right. Do you find, are Western doctors talking more about food? Because there's so much more awareness with movies like Food, Inc. and Forks Over Knives. Is this seeping in?
Very, very slowly. With doctors, I think Gabriella made an excellent point about education. We have, our entire didactic process as doctors has been derailed and taken over, so that if you don't actively go out and seek your education, what you will receive passively is infomercials for Big Pharma. And just the basic premise that if there's a disease, there's a drug for it, and that's what we should be putting our money and our research and our interest in, as opposed to turning around, facing the opposite direction and saying, what's a 21-year-old man doing with an autoimmune disease like this? What's in his body that shouldn't be there, that is turning his system against itself? And it could be heavy metals. We know, for example, that mercury and lead actually cause you to become allergic to your own proteins. They alter the shape of the proteins, and then your immune system doesn't recognize those body surface proteins as self anymore. It sees them as non-self and starts to attack them.
Now, you just said derailed and taken over. What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, it's a pretty strong statement, but I don't think it's an exaggeration. Again, the research is now being done primarily by pharmaceutical companies. There have been huge scandals in the medical research. New England Journal of Medicine, for example, has talked about this. There's selection bias. There's suppression of research. If you fund the research and you don't like the way it comes out, then you fund another project. A company might be able and can fund 30 projects. 29 of them are statistically not significant benefit. One of them, by fluke, shows up statistically beneficial. That's the one that will get submitted for publication. And there's really no way to stop that from happening. So you can game the literature. And that's been going on, so that our literature is completely contaminated now with self-interest, and it's disguised. We don't even know it's there. You've got to really hunt outside of the medical literature to find good science in medicine anymore. I look a lot at the biochemical and the nutritional literature, because they're doing actual research that isn't influenced by, let's get a study that's positive so we can make publicity releases and, you know, convince everybody that this is the greatest thing in the world. And it's not. So many drugs have been approved that are no better and, in fact, more dangerous than the drugs that were previously used for that treatment. But they still get through, and they still make tons of money.
And I think the other thing to remember is that each of us is a unique experiment of one. Just like our last caller talked about, you know, he started his healing with a raw vegan diet, but it really didn't work for him. And I think that each of us has really a unique healthcare plan. And I think as doctors, we're kind of taught to think in boxes, like this person fits in this box, this person fits in this box, and this person fits in this box, and then this is the treatment. And I think as holistic doctors, we see that differently. And I think the thing about food is to do research is very expensive, and you have to do it over a long period of time. Well, in something that you can't patent, and with the government no longer doing much of the research, there's no investment in really researching food. I mean, I think, you know, eating poison can't be good for people. And, you know, the poisons that we outlaw in the United States get shipped to other countries, and then we eat the food when it comes back, or in the Chilean wines, or in... So I think people, and I think like Dawn talked about first, I mean, there is, you know, access to care. And one of the things I love about Charlotte Maxwell Clinic is Full Belly Farms has been donating boxes to Charlotte Maxwell. So we have a food pantry as part of our clinic. And people are exposed to foods they've never even heard of or have never seen. And I think the concept of having healthy food and seeing food as medicine, I think when I went to medical school, I tried to get nutrition in a course in 1973. We had 4 hours of nutrition in 4 years that were like the most Mickey Mouse. And I think even today, there's very little nutrition in medicine. It's done on such a basic level of so, you know, it's like the ABCs, instead of really realizing how powerful, because it's something you do so often. I mean, it's such a basic part of your body.
And that is Dr. Gabriella Heinzheimer. She's one of the founders of the Charlotte Maxwell Complementary Clinic. They are the first state-licensed holistic clinic providing free alternative medical treatments to low-income women with cancer. They're in the Mission in San Francisco and over in downtown Oakland. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. Dr. Don Motika is a family practice physician, licensed acupuncturist, and host of Ask Dr. Don. You can tune in Saturdays at 9 a.m. on KUSP 88.9 in Santa Cruz, KUSP.org. And we've got about 10 minutes left. We have full lines. I'll go through a few callers and then we'll get some lines open at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org, or even better, leave a comment at yourcallradio.org so others can see it. And I'll try to read as many comments as I can. Let's hear from our next caller. Let's go to Karen in Santa Cruz. Hi, Karen.
Hello. Thank you. I am a midwife, and I use complementary medicine both for myself and for the pregnant women and babies in my care. I think it's essential because, first of all, it completes. That's what complementary is about. It completes the picture. Western medicine has an awful lot to give us and to say, but it certainly does not complete the picture. And the complementary medicines tend to have far fewer side effects and problems involved with them themselves. They're just way less toxic. Mm-hmm. I also want to alert people to something that I've only become aware of recently, which is, it's called the Scope of Practice Partnership, which is a campaign by the American Medical Association, unfortunately, to see that all healthcare be under the direct supervision of medical doctors. And unfortunately, except for the rare good doctors like you two who are on the line with us today, most of the medical people in our world don't know very much about complementary medicine. And to put them in charge of and supervising the care will, first of all, make it less available. And second of all, will make it much more expensive, because in order for people to gain access to the complementary medicine, they're going to have to go to their Western medical doctor first. I think this is counterproductive, and I would just like people to be aware that this is a campaign that the AMA is really working towards. And I'd like to hear what our good doctors here have to say about that as well.
Well, thank you for calling in, Dr. Heinzheimer. You're shaking your head.
Well, I think this has long been true, and I think we as consumers have to demand that medicine be medicine, that Western medicine is one form of medicine. And when we were first being licensed by the state of California, and we use a lot of homeopathy, and we have homeopathic things that in regular doses would be poison. So they came in and they were licensing us. And this is a perfect example. They told us we couldn't get our license until we locked up our homeopathic remedies because they had, you know, arsenic in them or belladonna. And so, you know, to have people controlling and licensing something that they have no understanding about. And I think one of the scariest things is that Orrin Hatch has actually been one of the main supporters of not having the FDA regulate complementary medicine. And so it's a very kind of schizophrenic world when, because I think Western medical doctors are for some, I don't really understand it, but so narrow-minded, and we need to demand access to all kinds of medicines, and I think not allow the FDA to be the regulator of all forms of medicine.
Do you have anything to add, Dr. Motika?
I think we need to be very concerned about, you spoke earlier about Obamacare and the chance that that may become the law of the land. I am very worried about what happens to alternative medicine under that scenario. As we start devoting more and more resources to try and get primary care services to people, primary care services are going to be spread out to paraprofessionals who will be working off of checklists written by the AMA or other industry groups. And this is going to enshrine and entrench some of the worst of conventional medicine and make that what we give to everybody. and we won't have much in the way of resources to branch out and offer alternative medicine like acupuncture, massage, and other things. And if this goes through, this additional thing, it'll effectively constrain access to the entire population, whether they can afford it or not. This is really potentially a very disastrous path.
Well, I wanted to read a couple of comments we've got on our website. Guy says, I recommend the Trigger Point Therapy Workbook by Claire Davies for solutions to many different kinds of pains.
Excellent.
I keep healthy by stretching, breathing, and drinking water. Many people go to doctors for pains that should not be solved by surgery, but by massage therapy and physical therapy. Thank you for that. And we've got an email from Duran, who says, I've been diagnosed with gallbladder sludge. The only treatment is apparently to remove the gallbladder. Are there any alternatives to this? Dr. Heinzheimer?
Absolutely. I think, you know, getting Chinese medicine involved, and first of all, you just making sure you drink more water. There are all kinds of liver gallbladder herbs that you can take, but I'd say if you can afford to go to a community acupuncture clinic or an acupuncturist, a lot of success with this.
And most insurance does not cover acupuncture?
No.
Is that right?
And I think this is something we have to work with in terms of Obamacare. We have to say that complementary medicine is part of medicine. We have to stop this dichotomy of saying this is Western medicine is the only medicine.
All right. Well, thank you for that, and I hope that helps. We'll put a few links on our website about acupuncture and where you might be able to get it, especially community acupuncture. Let's go to our next caller, Nancy in Berkeley. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. My question is, how do you know if somebody's a good acupuncturist? Are all acupuncturists the same? I somehow doubt that. The reason I'm asking this is a number of years ago, I saw an acupuncturist a number of times for migraine headaches and arthritis, and it didn't help at all. And I don't know whether, you know, it was the acupuncturist or it was just the, the illnesses that just didn't respond to this. And I'm having neck problems again. My neck is 75% fused, and I'm not having much luck with a physical therapist or the orthopedist, and I was going to go back and have try acupuncture again, but I don't know if, you know, the acupuncturist I saw was any good. What, you know, how do you figure it out?
Well, thank you for the call. It's a great question. Dr. Motika, what tips would you give to Nancy?
Well, the first thing I'd say is it's a little bit like asking the question, who's a good psychotherapist? It's a matter of fit between the healer or the provider of the healing service, the channel of the healing service, and the patient. So a good acupuncturist is a good one for me, which is not necessarily the good one for the guy sitting next to me, who might require a different style. Furthermore, some people are responders and some people aren't. But in general, in California, in order to practice acupuncture, you have to pass some very, very rigorous examinations. And that would be a good indicator. So the certification process is excellent. I also think that word of mouth, asking other people is, and probably will always remain, one of the best strategies for finding a good whatever it is. In general, trying one of the electroacupuncture modalities is always my first thing. And I want to put a pitch in for ear acupuncture, which is an underutilized, in this country, very effective form of acupuncture. In France, all primary care physicians are trained in ear acupuncture and use it routinely in their clinic. That's how effective it is.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I think, something Nancy might try, since acupuncture may not be helpful for you, is like maybe a non-force chiropractor. Mm. You know, somebody who does craniosacral work, who's a chiropractor, who could look at your whole body and, you know, might be able to give you a lot of help.
All right. Well, thank you, Nancy. I hope that helps. Let's go next. Oh, we're almost out of time. You know, let me just ask a few questions that callers have, because we've got a number of questions and we only have 2 minutes. Melody wants to know, what do you do when your doctor is not informed about holistic medicine?
Well, you try to find one who is, I guess.
I don't think you're going to find that many doctors informed about holistic medicine. I think what you want, my advice always is to find a doctor who is at least respectful of your being it's a path you want to follow. And then you have to look for other places for resources about holistic medicine.
And what are the best resources? Because, for example, I was looking for a doctor recently and I wanted a vegan doctor. And so I looked for it and I found one and he was amazing. It wasn't too hard. But how do you look for, I guess, alternative doctors? What's the best way to do that?
Well, I think the internet is extremely helpful if you can refine your search, and it's certainly a good starting place. Most alternative practitioners have websites that have a section where they discuss their philosophy, and it's important to have a good fit there. So those are where I'd start.
And then the other question, and we could have a whole show on this, but we're almost out of time. 1 minute. Most people point to cost, and that is their main argument about this. And I was just looking online. We're talking $2.6 trillion is the annual cost the public and private will be spending on healthcare. Prevention clearly brings the cost down. So, Dr. Heinzheimer, how can you make an argument, or what argument would you make about the importance of this kind of healthcare to bring these costs down?
Well, I think there's no doubt that complementary medicine is cost effective, and this is what we have to show. And I think in our cancer clinic, I think people are finding, who work with us, the doctors, that we enable things to go better, and so it costs less in the long run. And I think there's lots of data to support that. But it's going to be a struggle the public's going to have to take on.
Because we don't hear that data very often. But it is out there.
There is some data out there, and we need to just demand our right to help. We need health care to be a right and not just have health care be Western medicine.
Well, we definitely have to continue this conversation. Dr. Gabriella Heinzheimer is one of the founders of the Charlotte Maxwell Complementary Clinic in the Mission in San Francisco, downtown Oakland. Dr. Dawn Motika is a licensed acupuncturist. You can hear her show, Ask Dr. Dawn, Saturdays at 9 on KUSP 88.9 in Santa Cruz, KUSP.org. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose.
And thanks for your really great questions and stories. And I'm sorry we didn't get to all of your emails and phone calls. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. And here's what's coming up tomorrow. On the next Your Call, it's our Friday Media Roundtable. This week, we'll discuss coverage of the nationwide crackdown and arrest of over 3,000 undocumented immigrants, which has received little media scrutiny. We'll also talk about the UN pressuring Syria and the opposition to end all violence by April 12th. We'll be joined by independent journalist Valeria Fernandez, and the Financial Times' Borzu Daragahi joins us from Beirut. What story grabbed your attention this week? It's Your Call with me, Rose Aguilar. And you. Support for Your Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To listen to past shows or to sign up for our podcast or newsletter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is the executive producer. Pete Misick is our web editor. And Becca Hoekstra is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Alan Farley is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and produced by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.